The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, August 7th, 2011, if you're listening live, and it's obviously not if you're listening to the recording. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is a beautiful day today, and we're going to go on a little journey, as usual. But before we do that, let's come together as a community, as I always like to do when we start the show. And to do that, just allow yourself to get centered. Take a couple of easy breaths, deepen your breathing a little bit, perhaps. And first, let's open up to the community of listeners, both those listening live and those who will listen to the recording. Everyone who's hearing these words is hearing them now. And so as we breathe in and open to that community, we're connecting not just with those who are here as I'm speaking the words, but we're connecting to everyone who is hearing them, no matter when they might listen. So open up and allow yourself to feel that community of co-creators, because without you out there, I'm just talking to myself. So you guys are co-creating with me all this energy flow, and that community, whatever size it might be, listening live, listening now, is here creating the words coming out of my mouth. So let yourself feel that energy, that presence, that connection. And now expand to perhaps the core connection that we have, which is down into our Mother Earth. And allow yourself not only to breathe down and connect into her, but breathe her back up and allow yourself to feel her presence in your body, in your energy field, in your life. She is the constant, always with you. From the moment you came into being physically until the moment you leave, she's going to be with you. Let yourself feel being held by her. Feeling that support that she is offering right now and in every now of our lives. And now expand out to all the masters, the teachers, the angels, the guides, all those others who may not have a physical body right now, but who are definitely here supporting us and serving us as we come into greater mastery, as we discover who we are. They are cheerleaders, they are teachers for us, they are servants to our paths as we walk forward together. So the more we can allow their presence, again, the more we perceive that we are supported, that we're not doing it alone. And so breathe into that presence, that community, that connection. those connections. And last but not least, allow yourself to expand out to touch, to feel, to receive connection with the entire community of lightworkers on the planet. All those who would choose consciously in this lifetime to expand their experience of divinity, of their own divinity, to share that, to co-create together a better world. One much more aware of the divinity underlying all things. One much more aware of the community of humanity and the community of life on all levels. Even that which we in our human arrogance often define as not alive, like the rocks. There's life in all of it. There's divinity in all of it. And the more we open to those connections and walk with this community of light workers, and that's what light workers are here to do, is recognize the light, recognize the divinity in everything and everyone. And the more we do that, the more that becomes what the masses see as well. Very good. Thank you so much for that. For joining me in co-creating that piece. And so today, well, until about 45 minutes ago, I had no idea of anything I was going to talk about today. And yet, I think I'll probably be able to fill the time pretty easily. And what has come in is to talk about what I believe to be one of the core understandings that really can help us move forward consciously and step more into our power and step more into the ownership of what we're creating in our lives. And I'm talking about the two sides of a coin, perhaps, concepts of judgment and attachment. And now, since this is the work that I do, and now this is show number 19, so thank you for getting me all the way to number 19. That's shocking to me. But I don't know if I've touched on these topics before at all, but today that's what the focus is going to be for a chunk of time. So we'll go more deeply than we have before, even if we have done this topic a little bit before. So why do I say that these are two sides of a coin, judgment and attachment? Well, for me, as I look at how judgment works and what it does energetically, it is the underpinning that creates attachment. So let's talk a little bit about what judgment is and what attachment is, and what it means for moving forward on our path. What it means to be more aware of these concepts and how they work within our energy field, and what it means, quite frankly, to be able to experience more quickly when we are in judgment or when we are attached, and recognize that those two things are linked, and thereby more easily and perhaps more quickly move through them to get to a place of greater freedom. So to start with, what is judgment? Well, judgment is an outgrowth of the fact that we live in a polarized world, that we have what gets defined as positive and negative. In some ways, the polarities are just directions, and that's a really good way to look at it. It's left or right, and whether you choose left or right in terms of direction is only based upon where you want to go. It's not right or wrong in any sense unless it's taking you off the path, your path, where you're choosing to go with your life and in your life. And so one of the problems that we encounter when it comes to judgment is that judgment is that, it's not just there, but it's that biblical Old Testament right and wrong, good, bad, or even worse, good and evil. Good and evil. And we define much of the world in that way. There are certain things that are neutral in our lives, or as we look out at the world, but the neutral things aren't an issue. And so we can kind of set those aside. So things that you think about, and they don't have any energetic charge for you. In other words, they don't have any predetermined energy of this is something good for me or this is something bad for me. So we set the neutral things aside. And I'm making a specific point to include not just negative judgment, but positive judgment as well. Now, why would I do that? Most people, when they talk about judgment, what they're talking about is saying bad things about people. It kind of goes with the phrase that I grew up with, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. Judgment was those things that we shouldn't say. We might have thought them, we might have felt them, but don't say them because it's not nice. And that's even a judgment about speaking our truth right there embedded in that little axiom to follow. And it's important, as far as I'm concerned, that we look at both ends of the polarity spectrum, both the good judgment and the bad, not just the bad, because we can get just as trapped in the things that we have labeled as the good, the right, the righteous, as we can get trapped in those things or by those things that we are judging as bad. Now, again, most people, when they are in judgment or think they're in judgment, it's judging themselves. I'm weak, I'm stupid, I'm lazy. It's all those things that we think about ourselves as something wrong with us. That's what a negative judgment is. It's something that is wrong. And quite frankly, those things, all of them, every single one of them, they are circumstantial. In other words, what that judgment is based upon is what we might look at and say that's past experience. But what judgment does, what it does, is it keeps that past experience with us in such a way that we get stuck. It's almost like we get frozen. When we judge ourselves and we put the label on us, and it may have started by someone else putting the label on us, you're lazy, you'll never amount to anything. Someone says that to you enough when you're a kid, and you haven't been taught to let those energies go through you rather than stick to you, well, you're going to carry that around with you. And that belief, that judgment becomes what you believe about yourself. It's what you hold on to in yourself, and that's what you're creating your reality with. That's how we create reality. It's these programs about the way the world is. A friend of mine, a good friend that I will have as a guest one of these days, Jewel, who is another marvelous channel, she has a phrase that I love, that each of us has our way that it is, essentially our truth, except it's not necessarily true. Our way that it is, it's the way that we define currently what is true about the world at large. And ideally, as we're walking this path, as we are seeking to expand not only our understanding of divinity, but especially our experience of divinity, one of the things that we have to do over and over and over again is break through, break down, break up our way that it is. Because if we hold on to the way that it is, our definition of reality, we will keep creating the exact same thing we've been experiencing. Someone said, you guys have heard this, I may have said it already, that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. Someone I recently heard quote that said it was Einstein. I don't know, but I think there's a great truth in that, and that is linked in here to this idea of our judgment of what is right in the world, what is wrong in the world, is essentially our judgment of the way the world works, the way it functions. Again, judgments can be things like, you know, if you want to get ahead, you have to cheat. Or, you know, I was born poor, I'm going to live poor, and I'm going to die poor. I mean, anything can be a judgment, essentially. As we embed emotional energy in it as the truth. Now, there's a difference between that and what I might call discernment of the truth, which is a knowing of the truth. It's not what we might call emotionally based. It has a feeling to it, if you will, but the feeling of truth, when it locks in for us, for me, it's a feeling of being very at peace, very serene with that. Yes, it's the energy of, whoa, whew, I can stop pushing because this is truth. Whereas much of the energy of judgment is exactly the opposite. Judgment, when it is so-called positive judgment, when it's something that it's good to be industrious. Keep your nose to the grindstone. Work hard. Again, not that those things are bad, but when they become the emotional charge, when they become in charge of how we live our life, rather than being able to make conscious choices moment by moment by moment, which is what it means to be fully empowered. Fully empowered means we're not trapped into our next action based upon some past action. And that's what judgment is doing. We have judged this as the good way to be, the right way to be, or the way that we are, and therefore we get locked in, moving toward the good way to be, moving toward the right way to be, exhibiting the way that we are, or moving away the wrong way to be, moving away from the bad way to be, moving away from evil, so to speak. And that's not choice. That is some sense of, well, we can call it spiritual or moral obligation, but it's not choice. It's not free will. So although I do believe that this is a free will planet and we have been given the opportunity in these bodies, in these lives, to choose whatever we want to, we also come down here and we create these energetic patterns. We co-create them together that are judgment to keep ourselves in line. So literally judgment is taking away that free will because it's saying, no, 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 no. If you want to be good, you have to do this. Otherwise you'll be bad or evil. And that's very difficult to get through sometimes. So let's go further. I said at the beginning, judgment and attachment, two sides of the same coin. We become attached to something when our value is somehow tied up in that thing either happening or not happening. Let me say that again. Attachment is when our personal value is tied up in some outcome occurring or some outcome being avoided. Breathe that in. And that's exactly what I was talking about a moment ago in terms of the judgment. It's moving us. It's pointing us. It's saying, if you want to be good, do this. Otherwise, you'll be bad. And it is our sense of value that we are trying to find. And so we come back around again to what I am absolutely certain in my truth, at this moment anyway, is the underlying issue that every single one of us has, which is the experience of separation from divinity, which we come into body, we came in with that agreement that we would forget that we were divine beings, and we would have the option in this lifetime to move back toward a greater awareness of our divinity, a greater experience of it. Not a requirement, but an opportunity, an option. But because we don't know our divinity, we are trying to find our value. And it has gotten locked in for most of us to our actions. Certain actions are good actions and we gain value. Certain actions are bad actions and we lose a sense of value, our self-esteem. And that is that wheel that the hamsters run on, around and around and around and around. And we can put all kinds of energy on that wheel into trying to do the right thing, but it only gives us a limited sense of our value. It only gives us a limited experience of value, because our true value has nothing to do with doing anything. Our true value is intrinsic. It is our divine essence. It is our divine nature. And because of that, that's where we need to go to get off this wheel. And it is important to allow ourselves that opportunity. And one of the best ways to do it is to come back to how we're feeling. To come back to how we are in any given moment. If we're feeling like it's not okay to be doing what we're doing, that we should be doing something else, or it's only okay because the energies are, well, we're fulfilling what someone else defines as the good thing or the right thing, then again, we are not looking for, we're not looking for ourself. We're looking for that even outward energy of approval, or we're looking for the approval at the level of our own ego, would be one way to call it. And so it's important to recognize that if we're in discomfort of any kind whatsoever, we are probably in discomfort because there is a judgment going on, which means we're attached to an outcome that is not occurring. That's not occurring. And so when we do have an experience and we can notice in the midst of it our discomfort, and then we can come to recognize that in spite of how we're feeling, in spite of the should that is there, in spite of the judgment or the attachment, or ultimately both of them that are in that particular moment, that particular activity, what we need to do is to go within, to let that feeling of discomfort go away, to let that feeling move through, to stop fighting with it, to stop trying to do something to get it to go away, and rather take the moment to breathe into it and give it permission to go away. We have an opportunity every time that we are experiencing any kind of negativity at all to do that. To ask ourselves, first of all, can I let this go? Am I willing to let this go? Am I willing to break through some degree of my judgment patterns so that I can move in a different way in my life? Because if we're not willing to do that, it's not going to happen. We can't force it. Because again, if we're trying to force it, even then, our spiritual path has now become something we're judging. Oh, well, I'm not doing my exercises. I'm not doing my meditation. I'm not doing my yoga. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. Therefore, I'm not doing spirituality right. I get asked very frequently from people in session, how do I know if I'm on my path? Or can you tell me if I'm on my path? Or am I on my path? You can't not be on your path. Your path is the experience. Your path is whatever you're experiencing right now. That is your path. Your path is the opportunity that each moment provides to make choices, to step into the free will. That's what the path is. The path is not about writing the great book. The path is not about teaching anyone else. The path is not about healing anyone else. The path is about making choices, moment by moment, and doing that more and more from your free will, doing that more and more from your empowerment, and less from these patterns of judgment, these patterns of attachment, these patterns of should. And that's what it boils down to. Because the more we come back to ourselves in those moments and breathe in and say, okay, I'm willing to release my judgment that I'm lazy right now. I'm willing to release my judgment that I should be doing something. I'm willing to release my judgment that I'm not doing enough. Whatever, whatever, whatever it might be. And you don't have to label what it is. You just have to notice you're feeling it and say, I'm choosing to release this judgment and the associated attachment that goes with it, the attachment to the outcome that's not being met. Now, I want to flip this around. I have been primarily speaking about negative judgment right now. But I want to talk about how positive judgment still leads to attachment and can still hold you back from being able to make those choices the way you'd like to make them, stepping toward greater empowerment, because it's there. It is there. One example, and this is a fairly obvious one, but I think it's one that is a strong enough cliche that it will have some resonance for some people. And even if you're not connected with them, you may well know people who live this way. And the way that I'm talking about is they're kind of in the good old days mentality. Often this relates to, oh, exploits in high school. Those were the best days of my life. Well, if the best days of your life are not right now, I can guarantee you, you are stuck in positive attachment. That's the definition. That was the pinnacle. And somewhere in the program, you know, you bought into, or we bought into, or they bought into the idea that it's all downhill from here. You've heard that phrase before. All downhill from here. Never get better than this. Well, then we hold on to that as the ideal. But it's also something in our past. And I'm not saying throw out your memories. Throw out your good past experiences. What I'm saying is we need to let go of the idea that that defines what is good or right or positive or powerful in our lives. Because we have the opportunity, again, in this moment, to make a choice, to move into greater empowerment, to move into greater free will, to move into and experience more of our divinity. A lot of times, and I know I was very much in this, very much in this. I grew up having to be the perfect child, having to do the right thing. I was so afraid of doing the wrong thing that I got myself locked in this vision of being a good boy. Probably the easiest way to say it. That I was terrified of speaking up. I was terrified of having an opinion. I was terrified of having a feeling. Because I thought, somewhere in there, somewhere in the programming, that I was going to get, not so much excommunicated from the church, but excommunicated from family, friendship, community, whatever level it might have been at a given age in my life, that I was going to be deemed as not good enough unless I lived up to this impossible standard that I could never live up to. I mean, I was a perfect student. I talked too much, but I did all the work. I got everything done, and done to a very high level. And I got approval for that, but it didn't make me feel good. Not in truth. It didn't give me value. It gave me a temporary boost, but it was never enough. It was kind of like, you know, a drug addict needing the next hit. So I was always trying to do the next thing perfectly as well. And I couldn't live up to it. And, you know, once I got past Well, once I got past maybe high school and got into college and actually had to start doing things to accomplish the work, it got more difficult. Trying to work a job, trying to pay my way through school while I was taking all the classes, got a little more difficult, got harder to do. And I got more stressed and had to break through. And it happened in multiple ways, multiple times. But it would have been much easier had I known this. Had I known that I had the power to choose what I deemed valuable, what I deemed to be worthwhile, what I deemed to be what I was going to move toward. And so what I am wanting to offer today is a vision of another possibility. And it's a possibility where in every single moment we can sit in joy and really ask this question in complete freedom. What is the next thing I desire to do? What is the next thing that is right for me in my power to choose to do? And to breathe into that and to know what the answer is and to feel the freedom to take the step, whatever it might be. That's the vision. That's the vision that I have for me. That's the vision that I have for everyone on the planet. I would love for all of you listeners, for everyone you know, for everyone you love, to, for all of us to feel that freedom, that degree of freedom, knowing that we're divine. You know, I have a question that I like to ask people when they're sitting in some level of their self-judgment. And it's interesting, the responses that I get. But the question is this. When was the last time you went out of your way to hurt somebody else just to hurt somebody else? Yeah, breathe into that question. It's interesting. But quite frankly, in my experience, I've never met a person who's ever done that. I've met people who think they've done that. But their underlying reason for doing that negative thing was always because if they could make the other person feel a little smaller, they would feel better about themselves in some way. And so it was always that comparative energy, which most judgments are. They're comparative. When is good enough enough? For me as a kid, I could never be good enough. It was always something I was striving for that I was never going to reach. No matter how many straight A's I had, no matter what I got on the standardized tests, no matter what scholarships I earned, it didn't matter. It was never enough. And so that's a good question to keep in the back of your head. When was the last time that you ever hurt someone just to hurt them? And most people don't even have instances where they really went out of their way to try and hurt someone. But if you do, you really weren't doing it just to hurt them. You were doing it to make yourself feel better somehow by making yourself feel more than somebody else. That's my belief. I truly believe that every one of us in our divinity is always doing the best that we can with what we have, with what we know, with our truth, our way that it is in that moment. We are always doing the best that we can. And the opportunity that we have, no matter what our way that it is might be, no matter what our truth is in this moment, there's always an opportunity to open up a little more fully to find a little more of our freedom by finding a little more of our power in a little more of our divinity. And so breathe into that, if you will. And yeah, I think that's where we'll stop that portion of things. I want to touch on something here for a moment that does relate to that. It's also going to flow right into the commercial announcement here today, and that is the idea of community. And what community is and how it serves us. And so for me, community is connection, and some people would put it this way, like-minded. So that's people with similar interests can create your community. It can also be like-hearted, people who have a similar temperament, people who like activated, if you will, people who like to do the same kinds of things. Doesn't matter, but ultimately it boils down to this. Community, in many ways, is about resonance. And one of the things that I believe happens as we step on the spiritual path, as we step onto this path of seeking to unfold our empowerment, to explore our divinity, to expose our divinity, to move out into expressing our divinity more fully in the world, is to seek a different kind of community. You know, when we are little, all it takes is to be in proximity to be friends with someone. Our next door neighbor, the kid across the street, at least when we were little, many of us, maybe not so much these days, where you have to have play dates set up. And in the age of background checks and those sorts of things, but that was enough. That was enough that was alike. And so we're kind of coming to that like attracts like energy, and that's another way of looking at what community is. But a couple things happen as we step on the spiritual path. One is we actually become more aware of our experience of separation from spirit because we are more actively looking for it. So we're allowing ourselves to feel more of the separation than we were when primarily we were simply suppressing it. And so in some ways, stepping on this path, it's almost a given that we are going to head into experiences where we feel more separate than ever before because we don't have those kinds of connections or as many of those kinds of connections that are just about basic proximity. Oh, I like the Boston Red Sox. You like the Boston Red Sox? Good, we can be friends. That's not enough. We're looking for a resonance that goes deeper than that in many cases. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's important to notice because, again, another thing that I hear quite often is how do I find my community? How do I find the other light workers? How do I find the other like-minded people? And, well, to start with, breathing them in, like we do at the beginning of the shows. Breathe into the community of other people who are light workers. Breathe into the community of our teachers and guides and angels. Breathe into the community of everyone on the planet. Everyone's seeking on some level, but the more we consciously choose to open, the more we are going to open and experience those kinds of relationships coming into our life. Choose to go experience activities such as this radio show or events that call you, that you resonate with, to participate with other people directly who are on a similar path. And then you will find more people to overlap into a conscious community, into a direct community with you. And so, again, that also supports this awakening that helps to clear out the judgment and the attachment. Because when you have other people around you who can kind of, not so much call you on it, it's not about making them responsible for your process, but can help you to notice when you're in self-judgment. Or when you're in judgment of other people. Judgment of other people is also about the same. It's about attachment. Judgment of other people is that comparative that I was talking about earlier, where it is I feel better about me because I'm not as bad off as that person. And so it is, it's very, very useful to have spiritual community. Now I'll come to the commercial part, which is this. Next Saturday, August 13th, is going to be the next Gateway 2011-2012 activation that I do every month on the full moon. White Buffalo Woman, Sitting Bull, Metatron, and Melchizedek come in, and they offer very powerful teachings, and even more importantly to me than the teachings are the activations. They open gateways into higher dimensional vibrational energies to bring those and anchor them more fully on the planet. And they also open up personal portals. They open up mini gateways within each participant that allow a more direct access to that larger energy that's just been anchored on the planet. So that it's anchored on the planet is great. What that means is it's coming into and supporting whatever the mass consciousness is of that energy, of that vibration. So everyone does have a greater access to it. But those who are participants, it gets amplified and even more directed. It's like, well, the fact that there are television waves or radio waves going through the air right now in the room that you're in does not mean you're picking them up if you don't have your television tuned in or you don't have your radio turned on. They're there. The fact that these energies are there doesn't mean that everyone is picking them up. So it is powerful to experience these. This is the ninth gateway we've done, and the feedback has been tremendous throughout the previous eight. So for those of you on my email list, I will be getting that email out either later tonight or tomorrow. I'm working on getting that information up on the website. For those of you interested in the website, OurEarth, EARTH, PASS.com. That's my website. Right now, I actually have a homepage up. And over the next week, I will be putting up a number of other pages. But the first one I'm working on is this gateway about next week. So I wanted to put that out, let you guys know about it. I am offering the early registration all the way through Friday at midnight, which is $22, instead of the full price, which is $55. So if you're not on my email list already and want information about this, then let me know. Email me. The email, I think, might be on the BBS website, but if not, you can go to the website, ourearthpass.com, and it's there. Or I'll just say it, contactlight@AOL.com is my email. So anyway, that's the commercial part. Let me just check something here. And we will go into channel here in just a moment, I believe. Okay, so it's transformation time. And if you would do me the favor of breathing in, I will do the toning and bring in whoever's going to come speak to us today. And we'll go from there. Hello, dear ones. This is Kuan Yin, come to be with you today. And we have a little exercise that we will walk you through here to help free yourself. And it requires your participation if you would like to benefit from it. It requires your intention, but it does not require you to see what we are describing. That is simply to give you a blueprint. It may or may not look like this to you. You may or may not see anything, but if you have the intention to walk through this with us, it will indeed help you to shift your energy. So, to start with, just take a couple of deep breaths. And as you exhale, give yourself the permission to let go. To let go in general. And to open yourself to discovering more of yourself. Because that is what this exercise is about. And it is about first discovery, but then it is also about awakening and accepting. But it is not mental. And so we would have you center your conscious awareness in the center of your chest, in your heart center. And just breathe there for a moment. And again, give the permission to let go. To let go of that which no longer serves you. Good. Now, what we are going to have you envision or intend that is happening is that you are standing at the very pinnacle of a mountain. And that mountain, that pinnacle of that mountain, is the precise spot that you are energetically at this moment. And as you are standing there, if there are any clouds around you, they just dissolve. And so you are standing on top of this mountain, and there is blue sky all around you. And there is the sun. And the sun, wherever it is in relation to you, moves very rapidly until it is just directly over your head. And you open your arms up wide above you, almost as if you were going to give blessing to the masses, except the palms are facing upward, as if things are showering down and you wish to catch them. And you lean your head back just a little bit so that you're looking straight up. Although you have your eyes closed, it is a very bright sun after all. But you can feel the sun through your eyelids. You can feel the warmth upon your skin, even as you feel the coolness of the air around you. And so you are feeling these polarities, the coolness of the air and the warmth of the sun. You are seeing the sun, and yet you have your eyes closed. And you feel yourself being lifted. It is almost as if you are in an elevator. And you are going straight up toward the sun. And the further you go, the faster you go. And you are being lifted. And it's very safe. It feels very free and warm and comfortable. You have the sun on you. You have the cool of the air. They are balancing themselves out. No matter how hot the sun gets, the air gets that much cooler so that you feel in balance and you feel safe. And as you get to the sun, a hole opens up in the side of it. And you go right into this hole. And amazingly enough, the hole is black. It is dark. And so you are now in a tunnel inside the sun. And again, surprisingly, it's not especially hot. It feels very comfortable. There is that duality of the warmth and the coolness surrounding you in each second as you float down this pathway, in this cave, into the sun. There's no effort involved on your part. And it is not completely black. There is enough light to see by, but it is simply a tunnel right now until it opens out into a tremendously large cavern. And as you look around in the cavern, what is there in the walls appears to be glass, doors here, there, everywhere in this huge cavern. And it appears to be glass, and yet upon looking closer, it is actually ice. but it is clear. And what you see behind each one of these doorways, behind each one of these ice doors, is yourself. And some of them look very funny because they have old hairdos and older clothes. And some of them you're very small. Some of them you're just almost an infant even. And yet behind each one of these is an aspect of you. And each one of these doors is a judgment that you have held against you. Each one of these doors holds a piece of you that you cut off through judgment, that you disallowed, that you disavowed, that you suppressed, that you attempted to eliminate. And so, as you realize this, many emotions may come up. You may feel sadness, you may feel grief, you may feel many other things. If you do, just allow those emotions to flow. Breathe into them and let them move. And as they move, and as you step into the intention to collect yourself, to remember yourself, to reconnect with yourself, to become more of yourself, many of these doors begin to melt. And as each door that melts, melts, the you that was behind the door comes out, floating as you floated in. And as that part of you floats forward, you come together and meld as one. You merge. You remember yourself. But it's not about memory. It's not about thinking about the moment where this part was cut off. Rather, it is just about the joy of the reunion. And more of the doors are melting. And more pieces of you are returning. And breathe yourself in and embrace each aspect as it returns. And it's okay if not all of the doorways melt right now. The pieces that you were ready to reconnect with have returned. And so you come out. You come out. And you flow. You come back through the tunnel, out of the sun. Back down. Back down, and yet, interesting, you come to a different mountaintop. It is a higher one. And you land there, and you give thanks for that return. And you allow yourself to open into this moment. And to bring all of those pieces of yourself back into this moment with you. And just allow yourself to breathe into that. To ground it down into the earth with you. And so give your thanks for your willingness to reclaim these pieces. Give your thanks for your willingness to know more of yourself, to expose more of yourself to the light, to release more of your judgment so that you could do so. and give yourself a big energetic hug. And tell yourself, self, I love you. And then really breathe that love in. Good. So, we thank you all for doing this work. For as each of you comes more into your power, there is more power expressed in these dimensions, and they are lifted. And so we thank you for that. And we will take our leave now. And when the one we are speaking through returns, he will go on from here. So, much love to each and every one of you. Know that we are with you always. Namaste, dear ones. Okay, thank you, Kuan Yin. And thank you to all of you for co-creating that. Hope it felt as good for you as it did for me. And at this point, I have Anna who has called in. And so I'm going to take a call here and see what question she would like me to address. And we'll go on from there. So, are you there, Anna?
I am. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
Well, I could be doing better. Let's hope we get in that direction.
Well, you're here, so that's a good start.
Yes, correct. I at least have the opportunity to do better by being here.
Absolutely.
Anyway, it's been a very challenging year and a half for me. And I have a few things in the works, and I'm trying to make some positive changes. And I was wondering what direction or what the masters would have me do at this point.
Well, what I receive as you ask that question is this. That the two most important things for you to be doing right now in terms of spiritual practices. One is getting rid of things. And I mean that both physically and energetically. So, you know, I don't know your living circumstances, but go through your possessions and ask yourself these questions. And if you don't get a, yes answer to one of these questions, then get rid of whatever it is. Number one, does this bring me joy? Number two, is it useful and something I use? In other words, can this be used, but not only in that way of looking at it, but do I use it with any kind of regularity at all? And if not, let it go. Whether you give it away, sell it, whatever. So that's the first thing. Obviously, not just physically we're talking about here, but energetically. And so what I was talking about in the call here in terms of the judgments and attachments, that is a very important place for you to be working. Looking at when there's a particular thing that you don't feel good about in that moment, what am I judging? What is the should that I'm putting on myself? What do I think would I could be doing or should be doing that would make me feel better in this moment that I'm not doing? Or what should I stop doing that would allow me to feel better, etc.? And as you sit with those places of discomfort, the places of judgment, breathe into that experience and give it permission to go. Thank it for coming up. It is just old energy. And it's giving you the message that now is the time to make the change. But the first change is not an external action. It's an internal action. The first change is to let the messenger of that pain or discomfort move through. Does that make sense?
Yes. It does, in the sense that I did that about 7 months ago. I moved, okay. And when I moved, I gave anything away that I didn't absolutely need.
Okay.
So I went through everything that I owned physically. From an emotional and personal standpoint, there are some challenges, particularly with my son, and some very serious concerns. But, you know, those are compounded by financial issues and changes in, you know, where I'm going in terms of career and what the best thing for me right now is. You know, it's like the chessboard of life. What's the best, you know, what's the best man to move on the board? What's the best move to make?
Well, it's the internal work. I mean, I understand what you're saying, that there are pieces of this that are related to your son, related to your finances, etc. But all of those things, it doesn't matter what the trigger is. It doesn't matter what supposedly external circumstance is creating the discomfort in you. It's coming from an inner program. It's coming from an inner judgment. It's coming from an inner attachment to what life should be like. And that's the place that it's going to move from. So in terms of the external activity, here's the other problem. that when we try to take action before we have cleared out the discomfort, we are not in free will. We're making the choices based upon the should. I don't know, do you do dowsing by any chance? Use a pendulum to ask questions. Okay. One of the things that the dowsers teach, which is incredibly important, is that when we're looking for guidance, often the way we phrase it, even internally in our thoughts, is, what should I do next? And anytime we have that should, we are not getting an answer from spirit. We're getting an answer that's based on what we've been programmed to believe we should do, based on what would make us a good person or versus a bad person, etc. The should is about our programming. It's not about what is the divine highest good, so to speak. So I don't know if you said should in this sequence or not, but it's an important piece of it to look at, if nothing else, to see if that is part of how you approach this, that there is some right answer that the masters are going to give you in terms of the steps to take. And it's not that they can't offer things like that, but until we get out of that habit of thinking that they have our answers rather than we have our answers, until we get out of the habit of looking at our choices while we're in the discomfort, we're not going to get the answers that are going to be useful for us anyway. And so that, to me, is probably the most important piece of what there is to do here for you, is to really go into those moments of discomfort to do the cleansing of releasing the emotion. For some people, it works really well to get out a journal. And I like to suggest to people to write at the top of the page, I'm willing to experience and express this in order to release it. And you just start writing. And punctuation doesn't matter, spelling doesn't matter, nothing matters in those terms. And you're specifically not trying to figure anything out. You're not trying to solve the problem. You're simply trying to express the pain or the discomfort. And then you do that for however long you want to. I also suggest that people start by setting a timer, because one of the issues that we tend to have is, I don't want to go into my pain because I'm afraid I'm never going to come out again. It's just going to overwhelm me. And so we set that timer so we can teach ourselves, okay, after 5 minutes, I'm going to stop. And yes, we use our tools of suppression to put that energy back down, but that's okay. And then instead of, again, using that as a template to try and figure something out, do a little ceremony and burn the paper and give thanks for the ability to transform the energies. That can be incredibly freeing and empowering to do that simple exercise. But that's the most important thing I'm hearing here in what you've shared, is to really go into the discomfort more fully with the intention to get through it rather than trying to figure it out. Because the answers are on the other side. It's when we can get to that space where we're not overwhelmed by the pain that we can actually hear the clarity. I mean, even if I were to go back into channel and they were to give you some answer to go do something, it wouldn't help right now, because you would be doing it from the should of, this is what the master's told me to do, rather than from the free space of, I'm ready to take my next step. And what's my next step? And actually feeling freedom. You don't feel freedom right now from what you've described and from what I can feel in your energies. You don't feel like you actually have much in the way of choice. Is that true? Would you agree with that?
My choices are limited, but there are some good options at my disposal. Naturally, the issues with my son have become overwhelming. And overwhelming is a small word.
Right.
And, you know, to define the vast issues, the vast amount of issues with him. Now, one of the things that I've done is I've pretty much released that to God. That's in God's hands. We can't control other people. We can only
Correct.
Control how we respond to other people. And sometimes if you feel that your responses create other problems, it's best to not engage. No interaction. Nothing.
Absolutely.
Right. In terms of the challenges I have, I'm dealing with somebody, actually with a couple of people right now, where we're talking about investing in a business idea. And what I don't want to do is, let's say, I don't want to spin my wheels. I'm 51 years old. I want to make sure that the time that I spend doing whatever this next phase of my life is, you know, doing something that's going to prove not just fruitful to me, but fruitful to others around me, because, you know, my mission and my prayer on a daily basis is that I would be an instrument of God's work, and that my words would be His, my thoughts would be His, and my actions would be His. And that I would serve God and serve humanity. That's
okay.
Sometimes an enormous challenge in and of itself.
Well, it is, and I'm going to offer you something here that you may not want to hear, because it's in direct response to something that you said there. And as far as I'm concerned, I perceive it as a huge problem. And that is what you said about turning your life over to God. And I'm not saying that that's not a good thing to do if your perception is that that's not just God the big out there, but it's also the divinity within you. And if you're doing that in co-creation rather than waiting for God to tell you what to do.
Because no, of course I'm doing it in co-creation.
Okay, well,
and there is no external God without the internal. Forces,
okay,
you know, it begins within you. I'm highly aware of that.
Very good. I just point that out, because that can be a place where people go and then they become victims of God as well as victims of the rest of their life. So,
if I wanted that, I'd be a Catholic still.
Okay, good.
I'm in a 12-step recovery program. I'm a recovering Catholic.
I understand completely. So then let me just come back to another one of the pieces that you brought up, which is you don't want to waste time. And I can understand that from the human level of, you know, looking at, you know, I mean, I don't know what it means to you when you brought up your age there, you know, how what that relates to your idea of wasting time. But
it relates to the fact that people in my family die rather young.
Okay, well, and that's actually a judgment that's based in past experience within your family tree, within your lineage, etc., but does not have to be your reality. And so I'm just going to point that out because it came up. That it was true in the past for other relatives doesn't mean it has to be true for you.
Oh,
and
no,
as far as I'm concerned...
Hold on, let me clarify this just a little bit.
Okay.
If you grow up and you start burying people at a young age, and you go through, like, for example, I live in Miami, mm-hmm. and during the 80s, I had a funeral wardrobe between the people that were dying of AIDS and were caught in crossfire and drugs and all of the things that Miami was just so polluted with during the 80s. You know, you come to this awareness that time is fleeting and it has great value. And
absolutely.
That those of us that, yeah, and that those of us that get to walk the earth, every minute is valuable. There is no minute more or less valuable than the next. And no one person's time is more or less valuable than anyone else's. So for me, it's about making every minute count. Because of that awareness, because of the fact that I know, you know, people can be here today and gone tomorrow, and it's very important to make the time that we're here count. It's important to live our divine mission.
What's your divine mission?
My divine mission?
Uh-huh.
I believe my divine mission is to teach and, you know, share with people and teach them what I have learned in my lifetime.
Okay, that's a level of it. But there's levels underneath that that, as far as I'm concerned, are more important. And that is to be in the experience of this moment. Because the mission you just described there of sharing with others requires others. And that cannot be your mission, as far as I'm concerned, because it requires others. And there are going to be moments in your life when others aren't there. And so, again, that to me is a piece of the should that's creating some of this issue for you right now about what to do next. Because you're on that level of what to do in terms of how to express yourself, how to share out there, rather than what does this moment offer me? What's my choice for this moment? And I do understand the need for some clarity about what you're going to do tomorrow or the next day or on down the line. But even what you just shared about the importance of living moment by moment would suggest, I think, that you get what I'm talking about here. And when it comes to looking at this business opportunity, this potential investment, what, you know, whatever that might be, the place for you to go, the tools that I can offer you at least in terms of how to decide that, number one is to really sit with the energy of it, sit with the energy of each other person involved, at least at this initial level, the business partners or the co-creators or the co-investors, and just sit with how it feels. And if anything negative comes up in the feeling process, consciously choose to do the exercise I've been talking about of breathing into it, moving that negativity out. And then you will get to the clear space where you can feel serene, feel at peace with, is this a right step for me to take with these people at this time? And unless you are in a very peaceful place and get a very clear yes, then the answer is no. Now, it may be a not right now, but it's still no for now. And that would be how I would go about getting the clarity that you're seeking here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And I want to thank you for calling. I do have another person on here that I'm going to take another call now. If you want to go into any of this further, Anna, I would be happy to talk to you outside of the radio show. So if you do go to on the radio website or get to my website, you can get my phone number and call me, and we can continue with this. So thank you. And
thank you very much.
Absolutely. John, are you still there?
Yes, I am. I'm clear, buddy.
Okay, very good. So what would be your question today?
Well, basically, I think that right now, I'm not too sure of it yet, that I'm going through what I can only describe as a existential spiritual awakening. I mean, I pretty much just wanted to confirmation that what I'm actually experiencing is a spiritual awakening and not something else, not something that I might, might be confusing.
Well, can you describe some of what your experiences are?
Well, it's mostly around free will. I mean, I've never really been too religious, but I've always had this small sense inside me that I never really had free will, that all my actions were pre-governed, they're kind of pre-written out like some kind of play or script for my life.
Right.
But up until recently, I've kind of felt more liberated. Like, I feel as if I have more control over my actions and what I do in my life. And it's really, I've had quite an out-of-body experience.
Oh, so you've had direct experience of an out-of-body experience.
Well, I call it out-of-body because it's just new to me. I mean, I've had an experience which has strengthened my belief in a free will.
Okay, great. Well, based on what you're describing so far, I don't know if there are other pieces that you'd like to add before I give you a response.
I mean, I could describe to you the actual experience I had, if you like.
Well, I mean, if your basic question is you're looking for some confirmation that you're going through a spiritual awakening, I'd say it sounds like that. And I think that anything you would share further would only reinforce that. I mean, quite honestly, the intentions that I put out about this show is that it's only going to serve people who are actually in the process of waking up to the mastery within themselves, of discovering their own power. And
now,
so
this is it, you see. But, well, I'm kind of, what I want confirmation on is that, is this my own power? Is this something that I'm going? Well, I mean, I think, to be honest, I think it would help if I explain what's actually going on.
Okay. Go ahead.
Basically, for my entire life, I've had urges to do things that, I've never really taken it upon myself. I thought, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. You know, I've always had these kind of urges. I went in the bathroom the other day and I had an urge and I actually went ahead and did it. You know, I shat onto the floor and I picked up the loaf as it was. It was a solid loaf. It was clearly it was a real meaty stool, and I proceeded to start trying to eat it. I mean, I ate the whole stool and
okay.
You know, I swallowed it all and I wasn't sick.
John, I'm going to cut you off there.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm a big fan of the show.
Well, I mean, I can appreciate that you want to do, you know, choice, and that's fine. There's nothing right or wrong about anything. If you feel like doing that, what you just described, go for it.
Yep.
I don't know that I would call the spiritual awakening. Part of it is you have the free will to choose whatever you would choose.
Mm. To eat shit. I mean, I got the free will to eat shit. That's what I.
If you really want to
protect.
But you know.
Yeah.
That's your call. So. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, and good luck with everything. And that's an odd and interesting note to end the show on, I guess. But I will say this. That in some ways, that's a description of what we do when we're stuck in our own judgments, in the pieces that we don't like about our life, and yet we're not making the choice to make the change. And I will take that caller and that description as an opportunity to ask a question. You know, what are we choosing to take back into ourselves that is something that would serve us to let go of, that it would serve us to get rid of, that it would serve us to flush down the toilet rather than eating again? Because in some ways that's what it is. When we have a negative emotion, when we are discomforted by something we're experiencing, that is an opportunity to make a choice. That's the reason we're uncomfortable with it. And so it is to take that opportunity to make a different choice, to create a different pathway, rather than going down the same pathway again, that we have the discomfort in the first place. We have the free will to choose or not choose to actually follow that path. But it is, as far as I'm concerned, that's why I'm doing the show, is to make different choices and support people in making different choices into their empowerment, toward their joy, toward our joy. And so, whatever makes you joyful. But for me, it wasn't to continue with that story. So we ended the call. And I would choose right now to close with another piece that is about opening into greater freedom. And it actually is a tool that has been given to people in sessions. And it's this. And it's literally that vision of, well, first of all, take a couple of deep breaths. And anybody who may have gotten triggered by that or whatever, let that go. But it is this. It's to remember that every action that we take is divine. If we didn't go to the bathroom and release and flush that toilet when we did it, we would actually die of toxicity, because those things no longer serve us. That's why they're coming out that way. And so to just have that vision of your bathroom and your toilet as a cathedral, as a church, as a place that you go to work this process of cleansing, of releasing, of getting rid of what no longer serves you. And so give yourself that vision, and the next time you go to the bathroom, set an intention that as you release physically what no longer serves you, that you will also choose to release energetically, that you're letting go of old thoughts, old beliefs, old pain, old trauma, old expectations that no longer serve you. And that's what it means in some ways to bring divinity into each moment. No matter what you're doing, it is spiritual. And you can make it even more powerful when you recognize that. It's divine when you eat. It's divine when you release. And bring your conscious choice, bring your free will into that moment, and you magnify your power to choose. So, not where I had envisioned ending the show today, but it is a very important thing that we know that there's nothing about us that is not divine. And so I will leave you with that thought, that you are divine and everything you do is divine, and to come into your power is to experience that more fully. So, and yes, go ahead, Doug, run the chimes. I would like to thank all of you for joining me here today to co-create this. I can't do it without you. Of course, let me know what you think. Send me your feedback. Of course, any feedback I receive gets you automatically in the drawing for some free work with me. I am always open for suggestions on future topics, future guests, questions you'd like answered. I will be back same time next week, same time, same place. I hope you'll join me out there in the truth within. And remember, you never know where this show will go. Much love and namaste, dear friends.